Good morning. Great day in the house. All right. I may have always considered themselves an exception to the rule. Come on. Raise your hand. Yeah. What happened to them was not going to happen to us. You know, how many know that there are exceptions to the rule? Today, actually, we're going to look at one. So we're going to spend, I want to give you a little bit of the story. In Luke chapter 18, we're going through the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus had run into a rich young ruler. This man was young, wealthy, and had position and power, and was very religious. So from the outside, he would look like he was a total asset to the kingdom. He would be the type of person you'd want in the kingdom. And so he came up to Jesus and he wanted to know what he needed to do. And Jesus told him, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to follow the commandments. You're Jewish. You know what they are. And he said, hey, I'm pretty good at them. And he and Jesus listed five of them for him. And he said, yeah, I nailed those. And then Jesus looked at him, and the scripture tells us he loved him. And he said, well, there's something else that's a problem in your life, is you got all your stuff and it stands between me and you. It's a problem in your life. So give it away and then come follow me and you'll have riches in heaven. We'll trade your stuff for greater stuff and stay close to me. It gets in between us. And it's scripture tells us that he went away sad. Tells us, and let's start with verse 23 of Luke 18. 23 says this, but when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw this, he said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. He says, it is super hard for wealthy, rich people to enter the kingdom of God. We oftentimes think it is super hard for the down and out, the most messed up people to enter the kingdom of God. Today when I was going to church, I get off at the 22 in Beach and there was a dude standing there and I was lucky because I was the first car next to him. So you know how that is. You always have the option to either look at him or pretend he's not there. So I looked at him and he was tore up. I mean, he was gouged down. He was a zombie-like, and he was hanging and he couldn't even hold his sign up, and he was just standing. He was jacked up, and I'm watching him, and he was looking out, not even at the cars coming. He was just, and now I looked at that guy, and in the natural, you would think, that's an impossible person to get to the kingdom. That is an impossible person. But from Jesus's perspective, he said, no. The rich guy has a harder time. It's easier to take a camel and put it through the eye of a needle. And there's other definitions of that. But the idea being, it's impossible. And the people looked at Jesus in this context and they said, well, if that guy who is a major asset, the rich dude with power and religious and all, can't get into the kingdom, well, who can get in the kingdom? How does this work? And those who heard this said, then who in the world, in verse 28, can be saved? Who can be brought in? He replied, what is impossible for people is possible with God. When I was looking at that guy at the corner, all I could do was pray for him. I said, oh God. Because I knew this guy had a story. What happened to him that this would be? He was probably 25 years old. It's like, what happened to him? And yeah, I could give him a grab and give, and I did, and I could give him money. But he needs a touch of God. And then he needs to process through all his stuff, just like rich people do. This guy chose to exit out of life, escape. This guy chose, the wealthy dude, to get everything he could so that he could be valuable, so that he would be somebody. He has his story too. So today, we will examine the impossibility of a rich man getting into the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, what is impossible for people is possible with God. It's impossible. And we look at people sometimes and go, it's impossible. They would need so much. But it's possible with God. So that story of the rich young ruler in Luke 18 has strings to numerous stories after that. And in Luke 19, we see a rich person that will come into the kingdom of God. But the thing is, he's just as jacked up as that guy that was on the corner of the 22 freeway and beach. He just presents differently. This guy's name is Zacchaeus. And before we get to his interaction with Jesus, we need to do a little backstory, because everybody's got a backstory. And your backstory is this: your background, your circumstances, and your location. You know, every one of us have had circumstances in our lives. We live in a location. We do things in locations. And we have a background of our life experiences. And for Jesus, he always meets us somewhere in there. He meets us in a location, in our circumstances, and he knows all about our background. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. What will seem like a coincidence is never a coincidence with Jesus. So let's get some of the circumstances of what's going on. Jericho was a gateway city into the Roman territory. Both leaving Jerusalem, you would go through Jericho about 15 miles, and going out into the broader expanse of the territory, there was crossroads there, and Jericho was the hub. Now, this was Passover season, so thousands upon thousands of people would be passing through Jericho on their way to up the hills to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. That means all the roads there were toll roads, just like we have in Orange County. We have some toll roads. Every road had a tax collector that would collect the general taxes of anyone passing those roads. Zacchaeus would get a piece of all the action. Now, the tax collector would tax you on the amount of axles on your cart, the amount of animals pulling your cart, the product you were carrying, whether it was skins or goods or a food product, anything you carried, there was a Roman tax attached to that. The tax collector would do that is he would charge the normal tax that was appropriate for your situation and add on to that his fees. And those fees would vary according to what he thought. What you greased his palm with, what kind of day he's having, how much money he wanted to get from people. So this is Passover season. Business is booming. People are coming and going. It's busy, busy. Well, the chief tax collector would get a piece off of every general tax collector. He had the most power. Now and he had the Roman government backing him up, always protected by soldiers. Every tax collector at every booth had military people there. They could be bold. They had the power. They had the juice. So Zacchaeus became very wealthy. We're going to find out he was really short in stature. Consider Oompa Loompa without the purple. This guy had issues. This guy had little man complex. He had issues going on. Scripture lets us know about this. I mean, he wasn't just short. He was like maybe 4'9". He was a little dude. Imagine his growing up. So everybody comes from somewhere. But that wasn't the only issue this guy Zacchaeus had. Zacchaeus was Jewish. The Jews, the Israelites, hated the Roman government because they were occupiers. And they put the thumb down on the people. And they controlled them. So for Zacchaeus to be a tax collector, he would be viewed by his people as a traitor, raping the people for money to enrich them and enrich himself. In fact, he was, in scripture, the tax collectors were considered at the same level as the prostitute and even lower. For a prostitute sells the body, but a tax collector sold their soul. They would be ostracized from the synagogue. They could not go to synagogue. The Jewish people would hate them and not speak to them and keep, you know, put them down, do whatever they could against them. And his family would have to consider him dead. He would no longer have any family. This guy paid a great price to go and be a tax collector. And obviously he rose up through the ranks to become a chief tax collector. And he could use the Roman thugs to back up any amount of money he wanted to add to any of the general tax collectors. And he had the power to confiscate your goods. If you came in that day with a bunch of produce, but you hadn't finished paying your taxes from the last wagon full of produce, he could take it from you and confiscate it, and it became his. He had tremendous power, and he was backed up by the Roman thugs. So, the question then becomes, what happened to him? What happened to this guy? What's his story? You have to be severely traumatized to reject your family, your faith, your people, and go to the opposite end of the spectrum and live a life completely against the constraints of what you grew up. What did he see in the synagogues? What did he experience by being short and being bullied? What did he see in his own home? What was going on in this guy's life that he would reject everything? See, everybody has a story. Everybody comes from somewhere. Nobody just wakes up and is away. The rich young ruler, we read about, had his story. And Jesus saw what he was trying to do. That guy standing on beach in the 22, he's got a story, man. It broke my heart. See, because his family's got to be hurting. Or maybe not. Maybe they don't even care. What's going on with that? Sometimes God's kids don't take the time to hear the story. And they just want to treat people like a mission. But not Jesus. This guy rejected religion. And he thought wealth was the way to go. But this is what we're going to see. Even though he had it all, something was still missing in him. Something wasn't okay. And so we pick up this story in verse 3 of chapter 19. It says, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So in the busiest part of the year, when he should be collecting and raking in the money as fast as he can, with all the people passing by, he leaves it because he heard about this Jesus guy. Did he hear about him as a rabbi? I mean, people were saying there was a prophet. Some people were saying it was Elijah, maybe John the Baptist coming back. There were stories about Jesus. He also heard about he's not like other religious leaders. Maybe he wasn't like the religious leaders he saw. And you know, people that oftentimes strive to get as much as they can all they get and sit on the lid, is because they came from poverty. They came from lack. Maybe growing up, this guy in the synagogue would see the religious leaders reading one thing out of scripture but living a life that didn't match. And their families in poverty, and yet all the big wigs are wealthy and don't seem to share their wealth with anybody. Maybe there was abuse going on. We do know this. Bible tells us this, that the people in scripture are like us. They're like us. So what we go through, they've gone through. And Zacchaeus is a perfect example. We don't know everything about him, but Jesus does. So it says he tried to look at Jesus. He wanted to check him out. So he leaves his job. And he goes to the road that Jesus will be traveling on. And he says he was too short. Well, where's his soldiers? How come nobody broke through? They ain't his friends. And he has no friends. He has all this stuff. But he can't even, nobody will even let him get through to the front of the line to see Jesus. So we know he's lonely too. So you can have nothing and be lonely. And you can have everything and be lonely. And alone. So it says this, so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus was going to pass that way. He ran in front of the crowd. And he finds a tree. And he climbs up on top of it so that he can get a glimpse of the road and see Jesus coming by. Verse 5 tells us this. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said. Zacchaeus. Ain't no rabbi called him Zacchaeus, never gave him the time of day in probably decades. They would not say a word to him. Here's this guy. He knows my name. It's just like he knows your name. And the mere fact he knows his name means he knows his profession. He knows what he's about. He knows where he came from. He knows everything about him. He said, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. Come down. I need to eat with you. Nobody would invite this dude. And no Jew would ever go to his house. Absolutely not, let alone talk to him. And Jesus said, let me be a guest in your house. Let me have a meal with you. You know, when you have a meal with someone, that means you accept them. You want to know them. They belong. They are part of. They are acceptable. This guy who everybody despised. Even the Romans, they used these guys. He said, I'll eat with you. Let me go to your house. I hear it's pretty big. Pretty lonely too, huh? I'll come in your house and eat with you. Come down quickly. I want to hang out with you. Tells us this. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his home in great excitement and joy. Heck yeah. You want to eat with me? Let's do it. I got so much food. I can't believe you want to eat with me. It's interesting, too, that Jesus went to the exact location he was at. You know, Jesus finds you where you're at. And of course, the people were happy about this. It says in verse 7, but the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. He has gone to be with a loser, the worst. Reaching out to this man, Jesus is spoken against by the people. Those were the sickest people. You know, there's different kinds of sick people. Zacchaeus had a certain sickness. He was looking for something, but he couldn't quite put his finger on it. Couldn't quite grasp it, but he knew something wasn't right. But there are other people that are sick. You ever met anybody that was sick and you tell them, you know, you probably need to go to the doctor about that. And they go, nah. That's the worst kind of sickness. You're sick, then you reject the help. That's a bad sickness. These people are so sick that they don't even know they're sick. And whenever Jesus tells them you're sick, they reject him for it. You ever see, you have a friend or something and you tell them the truth about something, you go, hey man, you know, you already have a relationship, because it always starts with relationship. The quickest way to rejection is to just tell people what's wrong with them. And that's what Christians sometimes do the best. We stand back there and go, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's wrong. What you're doing, that's wrong. That's a sin over there. That's wrong. It's like, what about the person? Why are they doing wrong? What would make them choose that as a way to live life? What's going on with that? When you get to know the person, that's why stories are so important. Your story is so important. Only the devil will tell you to keep it quiet, keep it secrets, walk in shame, walk in all this stuff. Because that way you can never be a light to anyone. They said he's gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner. This guy's sins weren't even, because some of our sins, we have secret sins that not too many people know about. Maybe none. This guy was notorious. Everybody knew him. There's Zacchaeus. Oompa Loompa, taking more money. He's going to hell. Oh, man, is he going to hell. So, meanwhile, while people are talking against Jesus, that's an amazing thing about Jesus. He just keeps doing what he's going to do. Man, I'll tell you what. You are always going to be the villain in somebody's story. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he was telling me, you know, he's trying to make everybody happy. I go, how's that working for you? And, you know, because if we cannot stand someone being upset with us, then we'll be people pleasers. We'll peace fake. We'll do a lot of different things. But I was telling him, hey, this is the truth, brother. I know I'm the villain in some people's story. I'm the bad guy. In fact, I do that every day. I can, when I'm treating the boys like they want and doing what they want, I'm a hero. As soon as I say no to anything, I'm a villain. I'm the bad guy. You know, there, but it's amazing when you have 40 and 50 year old people act like that. You know, that you know, I shouldn't be the villain because I'm right. What's that got to do with it? Very little most of the time. I can be right as rain and still be considered a villain. I can be, you know, so what do? You do what Jesus does. You do what's right and you keep doing it. Oh, he's a notorious sinner? Yeah. I'm sorry. Made my mistake. My bad. I should have kicked him to the curb too. My bad. He doesn't care. He looks at this guy and goes, man, see, I do the impossible. I just told you a little while ago, it's impossible for rich people to get into the kingdom. I'm going to show you how I make that possible. I love the rich like I love the down and out. And I don't care how they got there. I'm never going to leave them there. But I'm going to take care of them. So it says this, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Man, I'm waiting for that letter from the IRS. Hey, you guys want to be a Zacchaeus? Here's the cool thing. It wasn't religion that made him do that. It was Jesus. He gave it because Jesus, not because religion. People say oftentimes, you know, I'm not religious. Good. Good, because religion is a problem. But Jesus is the answer. You know, Jesus is the answer. He said, because this man, but he took it to the next level. He called him Lord. Because you're the one and you accept me, I accept you back. I'm for you. I'm in. That's why scripture tells us we don't love God. He loves us first. And when we get that, that's what changes our life. When I look at God as a performance-based relationship, and if I'm performing well, I'm in, or I'm not performing well, I'm out, then it's not a relationship. He says, you're in. I want you, and I know everything about you. And I don't even care what other people say. He said, I choose you. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get right now. What do I need to get right with right now? Oh, I need to be generous. You know what that means? He was greedy. Immediately. See, God deals with the immediate in your life. The immediate stuff. When he was with Jesus, whatever was transpiring in that meal, he stands up from it and his house, wherever they were sitting, he stood up and said, I need to get this right for you. I'm going to give half my money away. Still was wealthy. That's a plus, you know, for his life. Maybe, I don't know what's going to happen after that. He said, I'm giving half of it away, and anybody I've cheated, I'm giving them four times as much. I'm paying them with interest, and I'm all about it. See, this is the deal. When God reaches you, he reaches your sphere of influence. He reached this man, and this man is going to reach other people. That's how it works. And his story, see, we're reading his story. Not all the information between the lines, but we get clues, as I've been sharing with you, about this man and his brokenness. But what we do get is a picture of what takes place when people connect with Jesus. Things start to change. And it's usually incrementally. I'm going from greedy to generous. And I'm going to use what's in my hand to do it. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? That's enough. And if I've cheated people, I'm going to get right. So he's going to be influencing a lot of people. He was a chief tax collector. When he goes to his general tax collectors and says, man, I've been cheating you. And they're going to have their minds blown. They don't even know who Jesus is. They're still doing their job. I owe you this. And if you've been cheating anybody, you need to get it right with them. And I'll cover it. Those guys are going to be scratching their head. Who is Shorty? What happened to Shorty? What's going on with this dude? They're going to be tripping on that. That's a door opener. What happened to you, man? Going to the people he cheated. The Romans will be looking at him like, what's going on with this dude? Your life is your story about Jesus. Don't hide your story. It is the door opener to the people around you. Not only your victories, your failures. Your story is your story. And your story will be ongoing. When you reach someone, you reach a sphere of their influence. You don't know how it'll work out. And you will, eventually, God's going to use you to meet other people in messy, similar situations. Talking to another guy recently, I told him, you're going to reach who you are. And sometimes we don't want to reach who we are. Anybody ever say that? I don't want to reach that. Me, I want to reach struggling people. I want to reach people with minimal struggles and lots of money. No, I told Jesus that. Because you know why? In my younger years, I had an idea that those people had better stories. And I reach dudes now. I do, and I shared it with you guys. I do a meeting a week with wealthy dudes. And there is, I hear their stories, and they're more jacked up than the jacked up people that admit I'm jacked up. I have to tell these guys, you know you're jacked up, right? You know you're a mess, right? What do you mean? First of all, we're meeting on this meeting. That tells me something. You're a Zacchaeus up in the tree. You're here for a reason. And the reason that you're presented, you're here, like Zacchaeus, the reason presented by Zacchaeus, I want to get a look at Jesus. That's not the reason. The reason is something's not right in him. With all that he did, something's not right in him. And he knows it. He knows it. He just doesn't know what it is. Or maybe he did have an idea of what it is. Why am I doing this? Why am I... He's got to be laying in his bed at night going, why don't I have any friends? How come I'm all alone all the time? Or if I got to pay somebody to be with me? What's it about anyway, man? I got elevator shoes on and they ain't helping. What's going on in my life? What's the story? You guys get what I'm saying? It's our story. It's just different. Your story is your story. His is his. So when he does that, Jesus looks at him in verse 9 and he says this about him. Wow, salvation has come to this home today. Salvation has come to this home. That word salvation is sozo, healing. Brother, you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed, man. You're on your way to healing has come to this house today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. It's another clue there. He was Jewish. They consider themselves sons of Abraham. But he said, this guy's a true son of Abraham. You know what I read in that? I read that this guy saw lots of son of Abrahams who weren't true sons of Abraham. Oh, they had the words and they had the scripture and they had the garments and they had all this stuff, but they weren't true sons. And it was probably one of the reasons that turned him away. Yeah, anybody else ever been church hurt? You know, yeah. Don't let the church hurt you. Church didn't save you. Jesus did. Yeah. And church is full of people like you. They need Jesus too. You know. And sometimes the hurt God allows in our life is to draw out stuff that's broken in us so that we can become more whole. Because if you think you're going to find the perfect church, how many have found the perfect relationship? Yeah. You know why? Because there ain't none. You're flawed. Everyone around you is flawed. And you know what? Your flaws sometimes run into their flaws. And you're a flawed mess. And that's the way it is. So don't use the F word anymore. Use that F word. That's a good F word. Probably didn't need to say the last part. He said, this man's a true son of Abraham. He was a child of Abraham, but he just didn't know how to be a true one. See, I'm a Christian, and I'm in the process of becoming a true Christian. And how do I become a true Christian? The more I am transformed into the image of Jesus, I get truer and truer and truer in my Christianity. I line it up better. But that's what Galatians says about us. Galatians 3:5 says this. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. This guy heard a message about Christ. He came to Christ and he saw him as the anointed one. Christ, the anointed one. In the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham. Oh. There's fake children. That's what Jesus just said. You're a real son of Abraham. He says, Paul tells us here, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God, who trust him. They're the ones. They're the ones. Now, we don't know what is going on with Zacchaeus' life. We don't get the rest of his story, but we know there's more to the story. Now he has to learn to live a new way. He's already lost half his possessions. Is he going to stay a tax collector? Is he going to get a new profession? Is he ever going to go back to the synagogue? How does that all work? What are the choices he's going to have to make? Is he going to follow Jesus and live off his investments? Is he going to be a supporter of Jesus so that the apostles can do stuff that they couldn't do because they didn't have the funds? Well, how is this all going to work out? How is he going to influence others? How does that work out? I don't know. But we know this. The good work Jesus has started, he will bring to completion. So there's a work going on, just like there's a work going on in your life. And this is what Luke 19:10, one of the best verses in all the Bible. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. After he said, salvation has come to you, he said, I've come to save the lost. You know, if you're lost, you were once found. There's many of us that have gone sideways in our life, but we had been given some knowledge of God. We had been given. I am so thankful to the Catholic Church for giving me a knowledge of Jesus. I didn't get all the other stuff, and a lot of that stuff can be issues. But I am thankful that I was given a knowledge. You know, and I went lost because of priest and molestation and stuff. And so I got lost. And because I got lost, I sinned a lot. That's why I often say to people, people are far more lost than they are sinners. They sin because they get lost. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And they choose all these ways of sinning to try to fill whatever it is they're trying to fill. Adam and Eve were first found. They belonged to Jesus and they got lost. They walked with God in the garden. They got lost because they were talked into it. Listen, this is the beautiful thing for you and me sitting here today. Do we have any Zacchaeuses in here? Is anybody up in a tree looking at Jesus? Because you're not part of, you don't feel like you're a part of it. You're alone. You're suffering. You made so many decisions. Know this, Jesus is looking at you. He's looking at you. And he knows your name. And everything about you, he knows. You can come down. You don't have to stay up in the tree, man. Come down. Whatever tree you got lost in, whatever tree you found yourself alone in, he wants to come to your house. You know where your house is? It's in here. For I stand at the door and knock. That is spoken to God's kids. Revelation 3. Behold, I think it's 3, 2 or 3. And help me, people. Well, let's just say this, in the Bible. In that part of the book. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open it up. I'll come in. And what will he come in and do with us? I'll come in and sup with you. I'll eat with you. You're acceptable to me. You're acceptable to me. And I will clean you up. I will help you. I will connect with you on a personal level. Then the journey starts with walking with me. It's a journey to God, and it's a journey with God. So with our eyes closed, just so that you can do a little introspection, is there a place in your heart? Is there a room in your heart? Is there a tree in your heart that you don't let Jesus into? It can be a place of disappointment. It can be a place of pain. It can be a place like Zacchaeus had of rejection. It can be a place of a secret sin, a secret thing that you don't even want him to look at, that you're such shame about. Now you think it's even too shame. He wants to go into that room, that place. See, he went into the place of Zacchaeus, the place of his bondage. He also wants to go into the place of our bondage. He's not afraid. And he wants to bring healing to that place. And one of the reasons is because he wants you to be able to help others who hide in their rooms, in their trees. So you can call them down and eat with them. Just open that door right now and let Jesus in. He's not ashamed of you. For he came to seek the lost. And what? To save them, to heal them. He wants to heal our wounds. He doesn't care if you're the guy on the corner of 22 and Beach. He doesn't care if you're Zacchaeus in Newport Harbor. Lost is lost. So Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters right now that you would bring great healing to their lives. And that not anything that they ever considered a disability, a liability in their lives, something that can't be overcome. I pray you never let their mentality go there again. I pray that they would not walk in the shame of their story. They would be healed in their story, that they may be your hands and feet. That their testimony, just like Zacchaeus's, would impact their sphere of influence, would impact the people who are like them. God, we are a needy and broken people. And just as Zacchaeus had to journey in his life, we're all on our journeys too. So Lord, don't let anything get between us and you. Let us stay close to you. And when we're troubled, let us eat with you. Let us draw close to you and find our rest in you. Find our acceptance in you. Find our comfort. And whether we're beloved or whether people are displeased with us, let us do what is right. So I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, minister to your people as we go out this week, as we live our lives this week. Help us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if there's anybody that's got some issues they want prayer for, we have the prayer garden right there. We have people that will pray with you if there's some stuff that was stirred up, something that you want to get some greater prayer in. Right over there, we're available for you. For the rest of you guys, have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.